Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Welcome back, folks. On December 7th, there are a number of constitutional amendments on the ballot, and one being amendment number one. Do you support an amendment to allow the Supreme Court to sanction a judge upon an investigation by the Judiciary Commission and provide that recommended sanction shall be instituted by the Judiciary Commission or by majority of the Supreme Court, and to provide for the appointment of 5 additional members to the Judiciary Commission? Here to talk to us about it is former Civil District Court Judge Robin Geruso. She is a former member of the Judiciary Commission as well. And Judge, welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning, Sheriff. How are you?
Doing fine, Judge. So this is a big change to the construct of how we discipline judges or investigate and discipline judges in this state. Your thoughts?
It's a change. I'm not sure it's a big change, but it's a change that wants to correct a problem that's not there and make it even more complicated to discipline judges. So I'm at a loss to understand why adding 5 members to something is going to make it more efficient.
Well, obviously,
in my mind, it would make it less efficient.
Right. I mean, this has been the move of the administration to increase the number of folks and have more elected officials appointment. So the additional 5 members would be 2 from the Speaker, 2 from the President of the Senate, and 1 from the Governor, right?
That would be correct. So there would, instead of 9 members, there would be 14 members. Right now, there are 3 judges that are appointed by the Supreme Court. One of them is a court of appeal judge. The other 2 are district court judges. Then there are 3 lawyers that are appointed by the Conference of Court of Appeal Judges. One of the lawyers has a young lawyer, and they have to have 3 to 10 years of experience practicing law. And the other 2 are experienced lawyers with 10 years or more. And then there are 3, we already have 3 citizen members, and they're appointed by the Conference of District Court Judges.
So what is it that we're trying to correct? Because it seems to me with some of the reported cases that, you know, a lot of the frustration that I hear of folks are operational efficiency of courts. And I can say this without reservation. Your court was not one that would that there was a deficiency there. It was very efficient. And I used to hear that from a lot of folks. But
I appreciate that.
I don't hear that about all judges, and it seems to have really created a frustration, not only amongst the bar, but citizens watching and citizen litigants in court, and they're looking for a place to turn and a place to go to.
Well, I think there, you know, I sat on the commission 20 years ago, so it was a good while ago, and I chaired the commission in the last year that I served, and there were, I think, two criticisms of the commission at that time. One, that the process took too long, and two, that it was shrouded in secrecy. And I think in those, the 20 years since I've served, the Supreme Court and the commission have gone out of their way to correct both of those things. For example, when I served on the commission actually conducted all the hearings about the judges. Now, the Supreme Court appoints hearing officers to hear the cases, so more than one case can go on at the same time. And the commission reviews the transcript of the hearing officers, and they hear oral argument, but they can hear many more cases in the when they meet than they could have during the time that I was sitting on it. They also, so the efficiency has increased greatly. And there have been complaints about how long something takes. So the commission's actually started tracking investigations that took longer than 18 months. In 2017, there were 7 of them. In 2023, there were 4.7. And as of October of this year, there were only 3 investigations that were pending longer than 18 months. And as far as the transparency is concerned or being shrouded in secrecy, the rule was changed in 2020, so the commission has made a lot of general information available about dispositions. And actually, if any of your listeners want to go onto the Judiciary Commission's website, they're more than welcome to do it. The website was not there when I was serving on the commission. And it talks about the disposition of cases. It tells you what cases are set for hearing. You can actually, as a member of the public, go sit in those hearings, which you could not do when I was on the commission. So I think the commission has done a real, and the Supreme Court have done a really good job in addressing the complaints. And I don't see how adding more members, making it more complicated to coordinate meetings. It also makes it way more expensive because you got to pay all the travel expenses and lodging and meals for anyone that doesn't live in Orleans Parish where the commission meets. And I don't see any reason to do it.
So the commission, because I'm getting a lot of texts, folks don't really understand, is not a full-time position. It's a part-time voluntary position. And I'm not sure, is there compensation for same?
That you do not compensated. You are not compensated for it. It's a lot of extra work. The only, and it's not compensation, it would just be paying expenses. If you don't live in Orleans Parish where the commission meets, you are compensated for your travel expenses and for your, you have to stay in a hotel, so you're compensated for your lodging, and you're compensated for your meals. But
right.
That means
which
5 more people would be coming to the commission and having to pay for that.
Which is not unusual. It would seem to me that if we're talking about the efficiency, there would be more attention as it relates to increasing the amount of staff, not the amount of
members of the Judiciary Commission.
I
think, Sheriff, you've hit on a very important point. If we want to make this more efficient and we have extra money to pay, it would make way more sense to me to hire more investigators and maybe another special counsel to investigate the matters, and to the special counsel actually acts in a sense, I hate to use this word, but it's true, as the prosecutor, where they would be the one trying the cases in front of the making a recommendation to the commission to investigate, and then actually trying the case in front of the hearing officer.
Kind of like having a screening office in the district attorney's office, right?
Exactly. They'd be doing the screening, but they'd also be prosecuting them. And it's
right.
You know, you have to you have to remember that judges are elected by the people, and so you have to prove by clear and convincing evidence that the judge has done something wrong to to actually have discipline against that judge.
So one of the other things that change. One, right now, my understanding is that the Supreme Court has the procedure where they embrace or not the recommendation by the Judiciary Commission as it relates to discipline. Right.
That's correct. They review the finding. Go ahead.
This would change, though, right? Because they could embark upon their own volition, a review and recommend something maybe more harsh or more lenient than what is recommended by the Judiciary Commission.
Well, they can do that already. That's why I don't understand that. I mean, the Judiciary Commission could say, we believe you should discipline this judge and we believe you should sanction them. And there are a lot of Supreme Court cases on judicial discipline where the Supreme Court does something differently than the commission is recommended. So that's not unusual. And the Supreme Court has the power right now in egregious cases to suspend a judge before the Judiciary Commission has had the opportunity to have the hearing. For example, if we picked up the paper and found out a judge had been charged with a felony, the Supreme Court has the power to act already. So that confused me about the amendment, and it actually just shows a lack of understanding of how the commission and the Supreme Court interact with one another. The Supreme Court doesn't just rubber stamp what the commission has done.
So what there is another provision in here that is, in my view, somewhat interesting. What is the significance of providing for the addition of malfeasance while in office to the list of specified actions for which a Supreme Court may pursue disciplinary action against a sitting judge?
Well, they already can pursue it.
Malfeasance, if the underlying malfeasance is kind of, as judge, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, is a generalized term, right? And there's a number of actions that fall that constitute malfeasance that it seems to me they already can find a problem. I'm trying to keep it out of the legalese language so that everyone grasps what we're talking about. But, you know, that there's conduct that constitutes malfeasance that they can already make a finding on, right?
Well, of course, that's unnecessary. And maybe some of your listeners would be interested in the kind of cases that came in front of the commission when I sat on the commission.
Let us take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll pick up the conversation there, Judge, if you don't mind. We're visiting with Civil District Court Judge retired Robin Geruso and a former member of the Judiciary Commission of Louisiana about Constitutional Amendment Number 1 that you will be voting on December the 7th, or early voting, which started this past Saturday, that you can vote on now. We'll be right back. Stay with
us. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with former Civil District Court Judge Robin Geruso, also a former member of the Judiciary Commission. Judge, for the sake of brevity about what we were going to talk about the types of cases, I'm reading kind of the flavor on the text line. And I think folks are a little bit confused about one thing. The Judiciary Commission is not really able to Monday morning quarterback the use of discretion and broad discretion that judges have, as long as their actions are not do not clearly violate a statute or the Constitution, right?
Well, you're absolutely correct. I mean, that, you're absolutely correct. The Judiciary Commission is not an appellate court. The kind of things that you're talking about would go to an appellate court to decide whether or not the judge used their discretion properly. Now, if a judge had a pattern of ignoring what a court of appeal or Supreme Court said or ignoring what the law said, then the commission may be able to investigate and recommend discipline to the Supreme Court.
But if you have a series of cases where you can give someone 5 to 99, let's say, on a criminal sentence, because I think that's where a lot of folks' frustrations lie, and the judge repeatedly gives the lower end of the, you know, the discretion as it relates to sentencing, there isn't anything the Judiciary Commission can do about that.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. There has been a recent case about a judge of somewhere upriver between here and Baton Rouge, Judge Fifi, who routinely refused to sign search warrants, and he actually has been suspended for 6 months because he showed a pattern of misconduct.
Right, because that is an obligation of the office, right?
Sure, it wasn't discretionary. Once they proved that there's probable cause, he had an obligation. But if it's discretionary, you can't discipline a judge for that.
So let me ask you this.
There's can maybe some not of return the, him to office.
Right, and that's the importance of taking your privilege as it relates to voting, you know, to heart.
Exactly.
I think people are frustrated, too, because there are repeated reports of judges just not simply showing up for work. Is that within the purview of the Judiciary Commission?
It absolutely is, because, well, you may not have a 9 to 5 and you get an hour for lunch kind of schedule. Judges are obligated to hear their dockets. They're obligated to get decisions out within 30 days of submission of a case. And when I was on the commission, we did have several judges that we recommended sanctions for decisional delay. It's certainly not fair for someone who needs child support to have a judge wait 6 months to issue a decision from the time the case has been submitted to the judge. And that's just one example.
Final thoughts, Judge?
Final thoughts is I urge your listeners to vote no on this amendment because it is not going to make the commission more efficient, and it'll make it more expensive, and it also interrupts the really important idea of judicial independence.
Well, Judge, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. We truly appreciate it, and it's good to hear your voice again, and best of luck to you.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Judge. That's former Civil District Court Judge Robin Geruso and also a former member of the Judiciary Commission of Louisiana. On both of these topics that we talked about today, both the IG as well as this, we are reaching out to those who have a differing opinion as to those matters, and we'll have them on in the coming days. Thank you so much. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.